Ladies and gentlemen, Future Kendrick here, and I'm going to present another special podcast from the floor at DCC Denver Comic Con 2017. Apologies for the background noise and my half-hearted attempts to minimize side conversations. This is a great opportunity because you get to hear Dalton, who actually exists, I swear to God, and or whatever other deity that you might believe in, or abstract concepts that you may or may not believe. Regardless, Dalton actually showed up. So enjoy this. It's a little long. I'm not sorry. That's just how it goes. Have fun.
And how it sucks.
Teleportation sucks.
So you actually do listen to our podcast, Dalton?
Totally do.
You can tell me what the one after that was, or before that was about, number 80.
We're currently grilling Dalton. Ladies and gentlemen, on Sit Sock.
Today. Hi, everybody. I'm Kyle Hagen.
They can't see you wave, Kyle.
I know, but I can still wave.
This is still Kendrick.
And we have Amy here as well.
Amy Reeves. Who definitely is not Sean Bean.
And Dalton Vanny Hoyser, I think.
That's correct.
Dalton, do not pronounce his last name.
Van Housensen.
That's not true.
That's how you say it.
And we also have two other friends at the table that may or may not be participating.
I don't think they're participating.
Okay. And okay. Possibly other random walker bys.
We've pointed away from them, and we've all just sort of like, I know we invaded your table.
That's
but
all
we're
just
we
do, right?
Recording stuff.
Is like look at each other longingly and
it's
talk.
That's true. If we didn't do that, we would have crashed the car and died already.
I don't think they signed a waiver.
No, but that's okay.
What's
we'll just cut it out in post.
I just sign anything if people hand me.
I realize that if you don't make any money off of anything you do, you never have to worry about liability anywhere.
That's true, because we have no money.
Yeah, so if you sued us, you'd actually be in probably a worse spot.
Yeah.
If you got to the point where you had to sue our site, I just would love to see the scenario that
I
want to
go
into.
To there.
You do?
I would like to
you really
see
want to get sued?
Yeah.
Well, you have it here, folks. Kendrick wants to get sued. So the first person who sues Kendrick is going to get some French fries.
He's going to get some French fries.
Okay.
I don't know why or how or when. They'll probably be greasy.
Okay, fair enough.
Cold.
They won't be cold.
I guarantee they'll be cold.
So we're at Denver Comic-Con 2017 for all those people listening in the future. Or the past, I guess.
We're going to call this our recap.
Is this one of those events where it does like the year ahead, where it's actually 2018 for the
2017? Well, it was going to be until you ruined it. Thank you, Dalton.
It's not a car, so usually you just use the year that.
unlike car dealerships, we just use the year that it comes out.
Well, I can never figure out what year it is in the NFL because it's always overlapping one year.
I think that's the first time the NFL's ever been mentioned on our podcast. Okay.
Oh, see, hey, I wasn't.
Dalton, the resident sports expert.
I know football.
Anyway, so what was some of the stuff you guys liked this year?
Hang on. Let me get my notes out because I'm at that point where I'm...
Did you have some?
Two.
No? Okay. I don't want to put you on the spot. I thought you were going to say something and then Kendrick talked. And so,
oh my
like,
God.
That usually means people are not...
I fill dead air. It's my job here. Fill dead air.
Yeah, you don't want to know what that means when he's in a graveyard. Or like a morgue.
Anyway. I think aside from the singing Tesla coil, which if you have not seen a singing Tesla coil... You need to go and find a singing Tesla coil.
Like, so where would we find one?
I don't care.
They didn't tell you where they could go find one?
Like, you can go online and see videos of it, but that does not
count.
Is that
just
that
a fancy
nothing.
Word for theremin?
No.
No.
It's the opposite of a theremin.
It's the opposite of a theremin?
What happens is, basically, the noise that comes out of a Tesla coil is essentially the air tearing open and becoming plasma causes a pressure wave that you hear as that crackling sound. If you do it for short bursts using pulse width modulation, the same way that most digital audio works, you can use that to, by pulsing at exactly the right wavelength, create what sounds like a note. And this is actually the first one I've ever seen that had three voices simultaneously, so it could do power chords and actual music with it. Which tells me the next step is to get four or five of these fuckers all lined up. And then you can play that instead of having an actual like amplifier speaker.
It'll just be like a lightning band?
I want to go to a metal concert where instead of speakers, they've just got Tesla coils.
Sounds ridiculously expensive.
Amy has a really cool gift set.
These days, I don't think that it's that far off because I'm pretty sure some of those speakers are astonishingly expensive as well.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like doing
that
stuff.
That is pretty cool, though.
I mean, they're very loud.
Hear me with Amy said.
And the whole time, it's like singing and stuff.
Yeah. It was amazing.
So that was your highlight?
That was my highlight of just today.
How about yesterday?
Of yesterday, I think...
If you scroll through the little ones...
I really enjoyed the action of Luke Cage was my main thing that I saw yesterday.
Okay.
Where James Liu, who's done such amazing films as... let me see here. I got his list. Where the hell is it? Big Trouble in Little China. But also he did Kung Pao Enter the Fist. And all three Rush Hour movies.
Oh,
he did
cool.
What part of it?
He did the fight choreography.
Like all, like the
he did
new,
fight choreography for Luke Cage. And so they developed a martial arts style because they talked about how if you actually had super strength on the par of Luke Cage canonically, and you hit someone with a martially sound punch in the head, they would not have a head anymore.
It would cease to be.
Because he can hit things really hard, which is why through that whole series, if you've seen it, assuming you've seen it, he doesn't really hit people until he starts fighting the superpower guys or the power suit guys later on. He just kind of backhands them and shoves them and knocks them sprawling every which way, which they called smack foo.
Which when you think about it, it's actually really cool because I thought that was kind of jarring at first when I was watching it. I was like, why is he just like tapping people?
Just
like love tapping people. And then you find out there's this whole like new fighting style they built around this guy, and then you wonder things like why didn't they do that with like Captain America?
Well,
because like there's things like in the new Civil War movie, he like probably punches someone that's
probably
not
killed
super.
Robert.
Yeah,
you look at how many times Captain America's
Captain America's
a
murderer. We figured it out here on the Sit Sock.
Like you see where he hits people with the edge of that shield, like bam, you're like that guy's dead. You just severed his spinal cord.
We figured it out here. The Secret Empire was not so secret because he's been murdering people his entire career.
Yeah. Well, the thing they talked about in Luke Cage, the storytelling aspect, because he talked a lot about how action sequences have to tell a story. That's an important element of it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's in that is that when you start seeing him do that, you start to wonder, why is he doing it? He's trained as a boxer, right? So when he first started having to fight people with a superpower, you can imagine he probably did some horrible stuff.
Well, the first thing like he does when he wakes up is, like, punches a hole through
right,
the wall,
right?
But I
mean, right? Like, when he first starts dealing with people and he gets mad and he punches them, he's probably killed a few people and he's like, holy shit, I gotta not do that.
So are you now claiming that every single superhero is a murderer when they were young and just learning their powers?
I mean, yeah. I'm basically just gonna state that on the record.
Seems like he's a little scared of superheroes.
I would say that that's completely reasonable to be scared of superheroes. I'm kind of like, they can punch you and kill you.
All right, so that was pretty cool. That was really interesting to hear about. What about Friday?
Am I sorry. Am I going to be talking the whole time?
No, we're going to go through all of it. We're doing one at a time.
So I'm just keep asking you questions.
That's all I do.
I started a disappointing one about cyberpunk versus steampunk, where they mostly just kind of... The moderator wasn't that great, so it didn't like flow real nice. And so they would kind of... People would ask questions, and then they would drift off immediately, so the moderator wasn't really pulling back on track. One of the things they talked about was like steampunk and cyberpunk both have the word punk in them. So...
Yes.
So...
But that's a legitimate question. It's like, why is the word punk
there?
Why
is the word punk in there? What does it say about the rising up against the, you know, the status quo and being an individualist versus the good thing? And how do you feel that brings the multiculturalism into the platform? And it was like, hang on a minute. There are like two questions stuck together. Like, you've turned two pages over. Because like the multicultural aspect is definitely a fascinating part of steampunk and cyberpunk. And how it's sort of just Victorian era white dudes floating around. It's very expensive things. You're like, where are the Victorian era like poor people? And then you're like, oh no, they're there too. And then you're like, but where are all the non-white people? Well, there's really interesting stuff coming out of that now that wasn't there at the beginning, where you see some really neat East Asian and Indian aesthetics now in some of the stuff people are cosplaying on. And since steampunk is now international, you're seeing a lot of cultural stuff. But it blew right past the part where they're like, what about the punk thing we started? And then you immediately pivoted on and just lost the question.
So, well, I think one of the things that we all have learned this week, and maybe you probably already knew this if you went to conventions, is that moderators are incredibly important to a panel.
Yes.
If you have a panel that's not moderated, or you have someone who's maybe new at it or too intimidated by the panelists to actually do any moderation, you run into a lot of issues with the actual content of the panel not being that interesting.
And the tendency to drift.
Well, apparently, it doesn't matter if you have a moderator, as it turns out.
Oh? Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, in that one panel.
Oh, Dalton's here.
Which one panel?
In that one panel that they brought up where there were like two hardcore Republicans and two hardcore Democrats, and they started arguing about politics instead of focusing on what the actual panel was.
You mean
about.
Like the one that we wrote about or
the
like
one
that you saw?
No, this was the one that Kate did.
Yeah, okay, so... Kate isn't here, which she should be, but she's not.
She's
trying.
Is she
actually trying to get here?
Yeah,
she should be in a... Oh my God, you got me off the crack.
Uh-oh.
There was an interesting panel about, like, was it Then and Now, or what was it?
I thought it was Marvel.
Was it the Marvel one? But it was the one where it was, like,
well,
I don't know, it was Friday. We could. Or I could just use my handy-dandy telephone that doesn't work in here, so I can't use it.
Yay!
Immediately foiled. But apparently they started some heavy political conversations that, like, were completely drawn off track by the fact that the moderator was not available.
Well, I got the impression that it wasn't necessarily, like, heavy. It was more like this. If it was the one I was thinking of, it was this 80-year-old Marvel, like, writer or illustrator or something who worked with Stan Lee back in the day and had these amazing insights. And someone asked him something, and he's like, well, we should give Donald Trump a chance and stop being just so negative and setting him up to fail. And then people were, like, leaving, and it got to be this, like, this fight. And it's like, and after a bit, one of the old guys, the 80-year-old guy's like, can we just get away from politics and go back to comic books? And it's like, yeah, that's what the moderator is supposed to do. It's sort of like, that's really cool, and those opinions are very valid, and that's great, but shut up and we'll move on back to this other thing.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Kendrick made a sweeping hand motion with his hands there.
Yeah, you couldn't see that, but he was very articulate with his hands.
I'll put a picture of it when I edit it.
The one I hit was like a D20, Howard D20 Changing the World one, and there wasn't moderation there either, and the people that were in the panel had a kid in the panel that was running around the whole time, which was kind of distracting, but there was still some okay conversation, but there was no point, really, which was kind of hurt it, right? So if you go to a panel and you don't prep for it, or you go to a panel and you're like hoping that people's questions will carry the panel, maybe you shouldn't have a panel. Well, or maybe you should ask people questions before your panel starts.
That's one of the things I like about the Luke Cage one, is the moderator knew James Liu, like, they knew each other somehow. They spent the day together. I think maybe he met with, like, his handler for the show here. So they were watching some movies and stuff, and he had a big long list of questions. What he did was he'd ask two or three questions of his own, and then pick some from the audience, and then kind of riff on their questions, and then pull some of his own out, and then go back to the audience.
He
did a great job of, when people had two-part questions, steering back to the part that the guy didn't answer first.
That's what Garrett Wang has done all week, and if you went into any Main Events panels, which I hope you did because they were awesome, the ensign Harry Kim from Star Trek Voyager was doing a lot of moderation, and he did a great job of, like, you know, talk, ask questions, let people ask questions, talk about the questions further if you had anything, and it seems more natural.
Yeah.
The one that we did go to that was kind of completely opposite of this, but still a great panel, was the education one on the very first day.
Yeah, because they self-moderated.
It was more of just a presentation, though, than it was a panel, right?
It was three PowerPoints.
Yes. Yeah. They were all combined to one. Thank
PowerPoints?
You. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was
good.
It was a class about class. I guess I even thought it was a class. It was a panel about using Star Wars to teach rhetoric. So, like, looking at adaptations and how we change things based on how you're adapting things. Looking at, like, critical analysis and, like, commentary and how you write that stuff based off of, like, the culture you're in and things like that. So they did a really good job of, like, using Star Wars, which was something that everybody centrally knew, instead of having to teach core material, like, oh, read The Catcher in the Rye and tell me how it applies to the time period then. You're like, I know nothing about either of those things. Like, this is going to be an incredibly difficult assignment for me. And if you're like, take a scene from Star Wars, write a review of it, and then write six responses of people that might respond to that review. It's like a really good way to start with something a lot of people know and then build on that, right? So the panel was pretty interesting. It was one of those education panels. So
using pop culture,
it basically
as
was a pop culture.
Not
for
so much
education.
Pop culture, but specifically the narrative of Star Wars, because it was so familiar that when you wanted to tease out things like talk about how this it represents a hero versus the Empire, like how that can be used as a rhetorical construct. And then one of the things they actually went into great lengths about was genre. What genre is Star Wars? Is it sci-fi? Is
horror.
It fantasy?
Horror.
Is it whatever?
Or Luke here's a great Skywalker example. Is terrifying.
Specifically,
especially in Return of the Jedi, after
Luke
the car
Skywalker
accident.
Is terrifying. Like a Wampa, Chewbacca, Emperor Palpatine.
No, after the car accident, I mean, he looks like Leatherface in Return of the Jedi. It's
I didn't even.
Not happening.
I don't even. I think it's because I watched Return of the Jedi first, but like I don't know. I was just like, maybe he was younger.
So
maybe at one point he was younger in his life and he didn't have
just,
a bunch of scars.
No, it just looks like he turned 40 and then suddenly had an acne breakout on his face.
I mean, he kind of did, only it was road rash, right? So
yeah, I mean,
acne,
that's
road
just
rash,
what
tomato,
yeah.
tomato.
That's what it looks like. He hit puberty at 45.
Yeah. And you know, you think he hit the ground at 45. Probably faster.
Hey, yeah. I wish I had some symbols for that.
But I'm. Let's put some feature Kendrick if you're not going.
Now you have to do it. Okay.
All right, no, fine example they talk about was Rogue One. Rogue One, is Rogue One sci-fi? Is Rogue One fantasy? Or is Rogue One a war movie?
It can be all of those things.
And then what they talk about is the lens through which you view it is how you're going to rate it. So they talk about when you review or you rate something, if you use the wrong genre, like if you call it a rom-com, it's a really shitty rom-com. It's like a 3 out of 10 rom-com.
Or is it the best rom-com because they're together at the end?
Like, man, this rom-com is not even a rom-com. This is awful.
Can I do a Sickle and Ifrit drop here?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. See, that's why I use the 3 rating system on Sickle and Ifrit. It's the horror qualifier.
By the way, that's Dalton's horror site that we write for as well. So horror reviews, if you like that, go check out SigilandEffort.com.
Yes. So, it has the horror qualifier, horror quality, and then film quality. So those can be two completely different things. The horror quality versus the film.
Based on how you're viewing it. And what's the word I learned this weekend that I heard like three times?
Pastiche.
Pastiche. So someone mentioned that. The,
I learned a new word.
I did. It was like someone get a new car and you hear it five times because I heard it like a bunch of times in the same day.
Weird Al used it.
He did. Weird Al used it.
What's that called? When you hear a word and you think it's the first time you've heard it. And then you start hearing.
No, sorry.
And you start hearing it over and over again. There's like a syndrome or something.
Has anyone got that one?
Anybody?
No, right. Good times. Okay.
It's Dalton syndrome.
Future Kendrick.
Bader Meinhof phenomenon.
Yeah, Future Kendrick.
But like,
if you
they were like,
is.
If you view like the new Jurassic World or specifically Star Wars: The Force Awakens as a pastiche, it becomes a very different movie and very much fulfilled the goal of like what it was supposed to accomplish.
Yeah, so, or is Star Wars the genre now and it's its own thing?
Yeah. So like, it's kind of an interesting comment on how you can like channel your.
And,
you know, rhetorical.
Most interestingly,
nature.
As a pedagogical tool, because it allows you to give things to students to do, like, you figure this out. And
we
it gives them something where they're already engaged, instead of being like, go read Catch in the Rye for the 400th time. And I know you hate it, but still read it anyway.
You had one listener engage with you, and then you dropped another 18-syllable word, and then you lost that person.
Really, it's an epistemological struggle.
No, that's exactly what that panel did in the very first second. Was she said, the first sentence she said, was such a complex sentence, people got up and like started walking out because they were in the wrong spot.
Well,
like,
the realization, that was an educationally themed one. In fact, that was one of the handful of panels that qualified for a credit at whatever the university was sponsoring.
Yeah, some university that was sponsoring
a
pulp
culture
class.
So it was like an extra credit course. So it was very educationally oriented.
It was intense. They gave like assignments you could do.
I didn't come here to learn.
Yeah, I didn't. Screw
yeah,
this.
No, that was kind of funny. That's what people left for. So that was mostly Friday, and then
that was Friday.
I basically just stayed in main events every single panel. Like I didn't go anywhere else. So
yeah.
That was pretty cool. James Marsters again. I won't talk about that at length here because I already wrote an article about it.
Go read that article.
Famke Jensen was there. That was pretty sweet.
Go change your pants again.
I did. It was Famke Jensen, James Marsters, and then right after that was Greg Grunberg. So it was like orgasm, second orgasm, and then I got to calm down a little bit because it was two really great panels in a row. Like,
yeah.
I didn't get any Deep Rising questions asked though, and I really wanted to
because
I thought that I. Yeah.
Why else did you go in there?
I was hoping someone else had seen Deep Rising.
Nobody has seen.
Have
Deep
you
Rising.
Guys seen Deep Rising?
I don't even know what that means.
Okay, it's a pretty great movie.
What is it about? I might have seen it.
It's about these people who.
Okay, wait.
Yeah,
oh,
you're
going
to just jump to the very end. These people
movie.
Who
it's
are who basically are robbing
Spoiler
a gigantic alert. Cruise liner that's been set in the Chinese Sea somewhere.
Okay, I don't know.
And they're, like, getting on to rob it because all these rich people are there. And then some gigantic mystery creature attacks the ship. And it turns into this, like absolute horror survival, like, monster film.
And I
wanted to ask her,
it's
was like,
good sell.
What did you think? It was not? No, I love that.
No, that
it was
makes
great.
Me thoroughly bored.
And it's in the middle of the ocean. So, like, you
okay,
have to deal
better.
With that stuff. I don't know. I'm not trying to appeal to you. There's other people listening.
No, there are not.
Wait. Killer monster movie. Boring.
Yeah, it's Kendrick.
I have no interest in
Kendrick has really vivid dreams when he sees certain stuff in real life, like on movies. And if he has to dream about giant monsters, it's not going to be good. Tell him about your zombie dream.
I have zombie dreams.
Is that the end?
Tell them more about your zombie dreams.
Well, no, it's just it's the reason I can't watch The Walking Dead is every time I do, I can't sleep afterwards. Not like, oh my God, like I literally cannot get through a night of sleep because I start getting these crazy vivid dreams that just wake me up.
You know the recurring nightmare I have is I'm going to prison. And
that's
all
not,
of my friends...
It's not a nightmare. They're coming here now.
We're all doing symbols to represent the fact that we're calling the cops down on them.
All my friends and family aren't mad at me, so obviously I did nothing to hurt them. But I'm going to prison. That's my
general
nightmare.
Yeah.
So you don't even know why?
No, it feels real.
That's
kind of
scary.
It feels real.
It's like when you're like, I wasn't even there, and they're like, you're guilty.
That's exactly
and
what.
And then
happens.
All of a sudden, you're just an orange jumpsuit.
I have a story.
Okay.
Can I tell a story?
That's what
Go.
This is
Personal
for.
Personal story.
Yes.
Okay. So,
I might have to dash a little bit here and hand the podcast over.
No, it's okay.
What?
That's
I'm
fine.
Sorry?
No, I might have to go and then hand the podcast over to these capable hands and also you guys.
Oh, crap.
He has two human hands on the table.
In the context of having nightmares about going to prison, I was helping my friend dig a sprinkler system in his
neighbor's... That's a thing you do.
That's a
no,
really
totally
specific
a thing
euphemism,
that's
but
a
okay.
That's you do, right? In his neighbor's lawn. So this was, I don't know, 10 miles from my house. Nowhere near my house.
Okay.
My wife is there. And she gets a call all of a sudden,
And out of the blue, she answers the all of a sudden. Is a call ever not all of a sudden? It's always all
he
of a
said
sudden.
All of a sudden out of the blue, too, so it was, like, super
like
redundant.
Way, like, wow. I gotta have a phone.
You need to work on your, like, ability to talk.
Okay, so.
I can let him on a podcast.
Because I just said ability to talk, so I really have a lot of room to talk. Go ahead.
Room to talk. So, so she answers her phone, and she's like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Wait, what happened? In our house? Well, do we need to leave? Oh, the cops are there. Like, what is happening?
Like,
and
you're like,
one side of this conversation.
Oh my God, we're leaving. Why did you ask to leave?
These things like just escalate, and I'm hearing one side of the conversation. I'm
like,
communicate something to me. Can you start dropping me some sign language so I have an idea of whether or not we still have a house?
I don't think what you just did was sign language.
No, but it was not. a very intense.
It kind of looked more like kind of Spanish dancing something.
That's
there.
What it was.
Yeah.
Nobody can see.
You need
screen.
Sleeves. Yeah. You need roughly sleeves for that.
So. All right. So she gets off the phone, and it takes her way too long to say something. Like every second feels
just
like a minute.
Right? Peeing yourself, right?
Like, yeah. So she. So I'm like, what happened? She's like, well, apparently this guy pulled a gun at a garage sale. And
again, that's what you do.
That is way too intense haggling. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It got out of control. It's like, I'll
Mr.
give you 50 cents for this.
$5.
That's the Baghdad haggling.
I'll give you 50 cents for this. I'll give you
Baghdad haggling.
Give me a dollar.
I'll give you 45 for it.
How about you give me $3? And then he pulls the gun. So he hopped.
The bullet literally costs more than that.
So
come
apparently,
on, man.
This person tried to break into our house, and people were convinced that he got into our house.
He okay. tried to break into your house because he was running away from the
botched garage sale robbery. Yes, the botched garage sale robbery where everything
Don't
was 25 cents.
Time out. Botched garage sale robbery is the worst punk band name I've ever heard in my life.
Or is
it
the best punk band name you've ever heard?
I think okay. when I say
I
best
still
worst,
stands, still
when
stands.
Best worst is opposite for punk bands. Go ahead.
So apparently they thought this guy broke into our house. The reason that we found out was our renter showed up at the house with a policeman with a loaded shotgun pointed at our front door.
Oh.
Yeah. So he pulls up to the house.
As long as you're on the other side, that you usually do good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like so, I'm gonna either you're either guilty because you had something hidden in the house and now you need to leave and you have no idea someone tried to break in. And so you just skedaddle.
Well,
or you're like, I'm going to wait and see where this goes and maybe see a man die today.
Yeah. So the part that was kind of freaky is that supposedly, according to our renter, the policeman said that the identity
okay.
that was described was looked like me. So somebody reported that somebody like me broke into my house. And then the cops show up with a loaded shotgun.
And now everybody's
every
like,
door.
Maybe Dalton did rob this garage sale.
So if I wasn't home, if I wasn't out helping somebody install a sprinkler system and I was home, the cops break in, they're like, he matches the description and shoots
bam,
me in
bam,
the face.
Bam, because that's exactly what they do.
Because that is
first,
what they do.
They might not shoot you in the face. They might shoot you in the legs.
Like
no, that's probably the face.
Legs. Well, that was probably...
But, like, they might take you in, and
well,
then you'd be in your real nightmares array because you're going to prison.
Exactly. See,
it's
full
circle.
And then we came back. All right.
All right, well, I got a dash.
And now for Wonderwall.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall. So I got a dash, so I'm going to leave you guys to
it's
it.
22 minutes, too short.
Oh, no, you round it out. We got Dalton. This is the first and
that's
only time
true.
We'll ever see Dalton again for the rest of our adult lives.
What did you have any panels you
so
wanted to
So I'm
going to
let you go. Good seeing you. I'll see you again next Comic Con, maybe.
Yeah,
nothing
I love you.
At all.
I love you.
Not even like one thing. It's going to be really loud.
Hear the part.
See you next time. I touch you, but
okay.
So
I think one of the panels that I went to that I was like really impressed with was the.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll catch you at the next.
Oh man, I was just trying to think of what it was. The Weird Al panel. Like I was not expecting it to be as fun as it was. I don't know. Weird Al's been around for so long that. You just, you know, like, you might be burned out, but I guess he just recently started going to conventions.
Yeah, he's, it's funny that you, you know, I mean, it's always funny when you mention
one
Weird
the
Al.
Second day, right?
It's always funny when you mention Weird Al, because the guy has looked 40 years old since 1985.
Yeah, that's true. I went back and watched the My Bologna, like, video he did, like, the very first video you can see, and he's, like, super duper young, but he still looks really old. See you guys? So it's like really interesting watching him play My Bologna alone on his like accordion, and you're like, wow, he still does it just so iconically Weird Al, like
yeah.
never anything else.
That yeah, Weird Al is yeah.
What are you talking about during your panel? Like,
he
any good questions?
It was a lot of monologue. Did he do? I was going to ask you that. Was there a lot of Q&A? Because there was not much Q&A in the
room. Yeah. Well, how many people were in there when he was doing the second panel?
It was probably half full.
Were there questions?
Not very many. It was towards the end.
But oh, really?
The rest of it was dropped by the moderator.
Okay. Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dropped or driven?
I'm sorry, driven.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's okay, though. It's the moderator's job to do that kind of stuff. And, like, I think that Claire Kramer did a pretty good job of doing what she could do, you know, in that time where I'm just watching these people fit on that, like, Master Chief helmet, and I'm like, is it going to fit? Oh, it did fit. Like,
yeah, they've been passing it around the table. Yeah, they've just been passing it around the table to every person.
Can I have? No. Like, he talked about his life a lot, because I don't know if a lot of people know all that stuff. Like, he talked about what he did as a kid, how his parents chose accordion for him, how he, like, was working with Dr. Demento for a while, and how he got his first break, and the record label, and, yeah, it was kind of cool. But
sounds
I wanted
like he went into a little bit more detail in yours.
Okay. Well, I wanted someone to ask about the Weird Al show, but no one touched it.
Oh, they did a little bit in,
oh, yeah? What'd they say?
In ours. Well, they talked about that first show that he had.
Like, his TV show or his radio show?
It was TV on MTV, but it was called something. It was called Al TV, I think.
Okay.
It was like Weird Al TV or Al TV. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it. I wasn't born when this came out.
Yeah, it turns out that My Bologna song was in 1979.
1979.
That's how long Weird Al.
There was a music video for it.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about.
There was someone recording like on a.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
It wasn't like a mute, full blown music.
Okay, video. So we didn't get mixed information then, because in the panel that. When he was in our panel, he was talking about Eat It was his first music video.
Yeah, that's his first, like, big
one. His big hit. And he talked about if he had any songs that he really wanted to do that he was not allowed to do. And he said, no, that doesn't really happen. And he said it definitely doesn't happen anymore. It happened before Eat It, but it, basically after Eat It happened and he became big, the bigger he got, the easier it was to get people to be on board with the songs.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, which it actually sounds really cocky out of context, but if you hear Weird Al saying it, he's just saying it very matter-of-factly, like, well, this is just kind of how it was. But he is. He's treated like a rite of passage for musicians and artists. When they come into the industry, it's a badge of honor.
No,
Weird Al wants to parody one of your songs.
People, I mean, yeah, because Madonna asked him to do, like, or okay, I think Madonna's, did he tell the story about how Madonna had asked her friend's agent's friend's friend, who was Weird Al's agent, to do, like, a surgeon? And so, like, it was actually, like, her idea to do that song, and, like, they kind of collaborated, but not at all, like, kind of thing. But it's kind of interesting that people, like, will be like, I need a Weird Al song, because, like, it's like, they're your goal, like, okay, platinum album. Like, I want to fill out, like, Madison Square, Weird Al song. Those are my three for the things that I need
and
to do.
And then I made it.
And I'm done. That's it. I made it. I think the... I don't want to talk... Again, I already don't want to... I already said I don't want to talk about the James Marsters panel, but go read the article because it's cool. And he was great.
Too late. Like, you've already just in your pants.
The guy was got... It's good. Today was really cool. Actually, let's talk about Greg. Greg Gundenberg. I'm never going to say that dude's name right. Gunnar Brunberg is the guy who played Matt in Heroes. Matt something. You ever watched Heroes, right? The telepathic cop. What did you say?
I said Greg Jew. Yeah, that's
oh,
all
no,
you had to say.
Dude, you're okay. Like, we don't have that kind of joke. It has to be racist. We have to have at least one kind of vaguely racist joke. We have to have cursing.
That one wasn't very vague.
Well, okay. One racist joke. One curse word. And then we got stickers, which I just did. So, like,
great.
Those three means it's a sit sock. So now you've participated.
Yes. I made it.
He played Snap Wexley in the new Star Wars Force Awakens movie. He was Matt Parkman in Heroes, the telepathic cop. You ever watch Heroes at all? You've never watched Heroes at all?
I can't stand the cheerleader.
That's fine, but there's other characters.
There are? Not in the first couple episodes. It is hard to get through that show at the beginning. If you don't like the cheerleader, it's hard to get through.
He's a big, he's like a...
I'm invulnerable, and I hate myself. To get over yourself. You have invulnerability. Go save the world, you stupid piece
of
crap.
But she's a cheerleader, man. She's
just like
understand.
Jason Bourne. I can't get through the Jason Bourne movies because the same reason. I can tell you the numbers of every license plate out in the parking lot, but because I don't know why, I'm going to complain about it.
Well, because he's a very fractured...
Yeah, I hate him.
He's very fractured.
No, he's stupid.
He's a fractured individual.
Do you have any idea how much money the United States has spent
to save Matt Damon in movies. It's billions of dollars.
Yeah, but, like, that's a movie, A.
Billions
of
dollars.
And B, the choreography in those movies is really good. And C, it's watchable.
You know what? You know the only scene that I remember from the Bourne movies?
Getting a pencil stabbed through your eyeball.
Squirrel! That's what's happening right now. I just followed a squirrel.
What happened?
What? No, squirrel. We went off this tangent.
That's okay. That's what this whole yeah. podcast is all
the,
about.
The
tangents.
Only thing I remember from Bourne is when Carl Urban in the second movie.
Carl Urban's in the second movie?
He's in all black. He's the main bad guy. He's the main villain,
sorry.
Dude. What?
What is Jason Bourne?
What is happening right now? So he's all in black. He's all in this like black leather, and he's like, he's got like his sniper rifle out, and there's this guy in the crowd. And he's like tracking him, right? You know, in a little dark room,
with,
like
thing,
shades,
like, bin it,
shades drawn. Exactly.
And he's like, Jason Bourne.
So he shoots the guy, and then he's like, I can dismantle my sniper rifle in 30 seconds. And he like takes it all apart, puts it in his bag, and then he walks outside, and it's all like zoomed in, like shoulder, you know. Framing, and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's a badass. And then like it zooms out and he gets on a moped and he's like, nee. And it's like that just killed all of the momentum of that character.
But
I am no longer scared
you
of him.
Never thought he was the killer.
It is, that is 100% true. Hurry, track everybody down in a 6 mile radius that isn't on a moped.
Because
they would
guys
never
are
do that.
Tools. They could never carry that kind of gun on a moped. Well, that's the end of our episode today. That's our 30 minutes that we take of your day to try to make it brighter.
Greg Jew.
If you didn't get a chance to come to DCC this year, we had a ton of coverage on the internet for it, so go check it out. You know, give us some hits and likes on that site, and maybe even read some of the articles if you're feeling so inclined.
You could totally do that.
You should go next year, because they usually do some pretty sweet stuff here. Did you enjoy yourself this year, Amy?
Yes.
You said yes, just in case the mics weren't pointed. Say it again.
Yes, I did.
With passion.
Yes.
You can't shut her up.
She's just always just talking.
Monopolizing the entire podcast.
Look at, you're making her sad.
Oh, I was just kidding.
Yeah, now you have to apologize. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Kendrick decided to ditch me because he wants to go take a picture with Nathan Fillion and make out on his balls or something. I don't understand. But, Kendrick, just know that from the bottom of my heart, I hate you. And I always want to keep doing this podcast with you so much.
Going to get Nathan Fillion sloppy.